Most of you know that every Sunday I look up there and I look to the stained glass, or we've got our cross right there, to get centered. And as I was looking at that this morning, it occurred to me that most of us understand what the cross means. We've got a grasp of that. How there was a sin debt that we had from a holy and righteous God. And because He is holy, we could not be in His presence. We were under His wrath. But because of His great love, He sent Jesus to bear the penalty of our sins. How do I know that that happened? Because He rose again on the third day, demonstrating and proving that His words were true. But as I go down, there's the dove. And so often, we do not live with the peace that comes from salvation. And the thought occurred to me this morning, why? And I think the answer is because we don't know who our shepherd is. We're our Father. We don't know, or we fight that shepherding so much. So many times we are like Pharisees. We're trying to earn a certain place and keep the Bible as best we can, hoping that that God will accept us more. You have to understand, He will accept you no more than He did at the cross. But our peace comes from being under the hand of a shepherd that loves us tremendously. You also know that I'm a little strange. And in putting things together a lot of times, I've got an idea where God is taking us. And every once in a while, I'll go studying down a ways, and He will just very simply say, stop. I said, Lord, I want to go to the deeper part over here. There's more stuff in the deeper part. No, I want you to stop right here. Right here with these verses. And that's what happened. So as I was studying and preparing, thinking about shepherding, thinking about our Father, I came across a website called All Pro Dad. All Pro Dad. And it says one of the key jobs of parents is to create a safe and stable environment for their kids. That is different. To parent, what is safe and stable, to a kid, what is safe and stable, is different, okay? But understand that God has blessed us with these children, grandchildren, or those that He allows into our family, and we need to provide a safe and a stable environment. When they feel safe, they have freedom to grow. Have you ever noticed that anxiety will hold a kid back? It'll hold an adult back. And they won't test the boundaries of their own abilities. They will be comfortable staying where they're at, and they won't explore. Otherwise, they'll be full of fear and anxiety. I happen to think that's the problem with most of our families today, is that the kids have that fear and anxiety within them. So there are 10 ways to help your child feel secure. The first is give your time. Give your time. The most important, these come from the website, not my words. The most important aspect of having a child feel secure is giving them your time. Real time. Talking, sharing, laughing, learning. Time equals security. Give affection. Children need affection from a father as much, if not more, than the affection of their mother. A gentle hug, a kiss on the forehead, a dope slap on the back of the head. I put that in there. Holding hands as you walk together with your kid. In regard to child development, affection makes a world of difference. Praise them. Is that not difficult to do in families? It's difficult to find things. You have to overtly look for things to praise them about, because it's easy to find the negative things to come at them. But it says when we praise our children, it builds their self-esteem and self-worth. When it's warranted, always be sure to praise them loudly and proudly. Your verbal encouragement will provide the security they require to flourish. Consistently hold boundaries. Set those fences. Set them tight. Be ready to expand them as the kids get older. Children test limits repeatedly. Amen? They do. And when you enforce boundaries, you make them feel secure. Is that not contrary to what the world teaches today? It is like double-checking a locked door. You know it's locked, but checking again makes you feel safer. Who does that? Yeah, do that almost every night. Being consistent allows your children to know that you care for them deeply. Listen to them. Your kids have a lot to say to you. Amen? Yeah. And when they're talking, make sure you're all ears, even during those times of just nonsense. You can learn much about who they are and who they will become. Your kids need to feel secure talking to you about anything under the sun. That level of trust benefits everyone involved. Let the good times roll. Laughter is the cure to many troubles in the world. Be open, funny, and kind to your children. Play with them. Even Pokemon. Joke with them. Just be downright silly. See, I was biblical. I was biblical when you guys grew up. Dad, you're being silly. You're being silly again, Dad. Child behavior is based greatly on the behavior of the parents. Provide them a happy and loving home filled with laughter and joy. Honor and hone their talents. We are all blessed with special gifts and talents to offer the world. Our children need to know that we love them for exactly who they are. Look for the things your child is good at and help him or her develop them. Provide balance. Find an appropriate balance between justice and mercy. When your children do the wrong thing, you want to correct them by giving a punishment or consequence. However, children also need to experience mercy. They need to know that all of us mess up, but there is always forgiveness. Give them unconditional love. When children fail, dads need to be there to offer a strong hand to pick them up and dust them off, to give them a hug and start all over again. That is an example of unconditional love. They should know without question, no matter what happens, you will love them and provide a greater purpose. The family that prays together stays together. There is great security in knowing that we have a higher purpose and greater purpose on earth, knowing that our Creator loves us and made us for a reason. So in your parenting, be sure to feed their souls. As I read that, it occurred to me, that's exactly what our Heavenly Father does for us. Exactly. You can hear that in each and every one of us. See, the Bible is not discreet about our relationship. As a born-again child of God, one who has asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you have been not only just forgiven, you have been adopted into His family, you have been filled with the Spirit, you are His loving child, and as a result, He's yours. You're His. God is our Father, and we are His children. In fact, God is identified as Father 265 times in Scripture. Most of those in the New Testament because of who we are in Christ Jesus, our new identity. We read that in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, Daddy, Daddy. We run up to Him. We understand that He accepts us. Yes, there are times we mess up. But there is that love that we have, and there may be consequences of that. But we don't fear Him. That's religion. We see it in Galatians 4, verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God who gives us. We sang it in the chorus this morning. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Is that who you are this morning? Is that how you see your relationship with God Almighty? Or have you got a different one? I'd like to change the verb father to shepherd this morning. And that's really what we are to families. And what God is to us, a father that shepherds us through life. I'm going to use five verses here real quick. Tie them all together, and you will see how God looks at spoken to the nation of Israel, application to the church today, fulfilled totally through the nation of Israel when Jesus returns. And He said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, they have no master. Let them return and home in peace. They're scattered because of their sin. So they scattered because there was no shepherd. There was no one there to lead and guide them and protect them. And they became food to the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. For the household gods utter nonsense. And the diviners see lies. They tell false dreams and give empty consolation. Therefore, the people wandered like sheep. They are afflicted for lack of a shepherd. When Jesus saw the crowd, He had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Mark chapter 6, 34, and when He was ashore, He saw the great crowd, and He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6, as we will read that last verse again. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles have been out proclaiming the kingdom of God. They have had great success. So as many people that were around Jesus at the start, that has more than doubled as people are coming in, finding out who this Jesus is. How do we become part of the kingdom of God? So the apostles are returning. Jesus gave them authority over disease and unclean spirits and all of that. They had the authority that God gave him to that. And now they've come back. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all that they had done and taught. They became, and then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. It was about 5 miles away. The people on the shore could see what direction they were going. Most likely it was a headwind, so they weren't going very fast, and the people could easily follow along the shore. Verse 33, "But many who saw them recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and were there ahead of them." Folks, it's like sheep without a shepherd. A shepherd is coming. He's got the words of truth. Maybe there's some healing in his hands for me this time. They're going out to Him. Verse 34, "When Jesus landed, He saw a large crowd." Now they're tired. They went to get some relief, to get their minds straight again. But when Jesus was tired as well, and when He saw the crowd, He did not discipline them. He did not tell them to go away, leave me alone. What's it say? He had compassion on them. He understood. He understood. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So because of His compassion, He began to teach them many things. Let's pray. Father, as I studied this week, this sounded so much like the humanity of today. It's like sheep without a shepherd, as they're each going their own way, and they're wondering why this is happening and that is happening, and why are these murders, and where's the sanctity of life, and what's these governments all about, and all of that, as they try to become their own master, they see that it is impossible to do. Lord, may we see this morning as Your children. We have a good, good shepherd who has promised to lead and shepherd us through these lives. Not protect us from everything that happens, but to walk through every event with us. Now, Father, I pray You open up our hearts and our minds that we may understand Your personal word for us today. And I give You the praise in Your name. Amen. Boy, does this not sound like humanity today. Zechariah 10, verse 2, "For the household gods utter nonsense. All you got to do is turn on the TV. Listen to the nonsense that's out there on how you should live and how you should think." And the diviners, those that can see, the educated ones that tell us how we should live and what we should accept as truth, they give false dreams and they give empty consolation. There is no hope. Therefore, the people are wandering all over the place. It should not surprise us. Because when people are given false ideas of truth, they will wander off all over the place. Matthew, when Jesus saw the crowd, He had compassion upon them. Because they were not shepherd, they were harassed and helpless. Harassed. So what did Jesus do? Verse 34, He began to teach them many things. He sat down with them. He let them crowd around Him. Some had sicknesses, but mostly they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. He didn't preach at them. He didn't call them out. He didn't belittle them. That's what the Pharisees did. He was teaching, imparting God's wisdom to the harassed, the helpless, and the hopeless. He was calling them to allow Him to be their shepherd. And He did do that. He began to shepherd them. He gave them His time. Remember the 10 lists? He gave them His time. We see that in the Scriptures this morning. That many times He didn't have time to eat because He was ministering to them. He gave them His affection. He touched diseased people. Rabbis did not do that. Pharisees did not do that. He went into homes of the sick. He had affection on them. He praised them. Remember when Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Well done, Simon. You didn't come to that on your own, so don't get braggy. But that's great. It's marvelous." When the disciples came back to Him and told Him all of that, He said, "I saw the kingdom of Satan fall today." Folks, that's praise. Praise for what God has done. But He consistently held boundaries, didn't He? The kingdom of God is like this. That didn't alter any who He was talking to. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Those are boundary verses that He gives us. If you want to know what the moral statutes of God is, the moral boundaries are, they're in His Word. They have not changed just because somebody says we have outgrown them. That's God's boundaries. And remember that we cannot grow and become who we want to be without God's consistent boundaries. He listened to them. There was a man. He came down off the mount. And the man's son was demon-possessed. And he come down and disciples couldn't heal him. And Jesus immediately began talking to the father. "Tell me how your son got this way. What's this like?" Remember the woman at the well? He took time with her. He listened to her. He listened to her false teaching. Didn't bother him at all. He corrected a little bit of it. He took time for her. Folks, let the good times roll. Folks, Psalm says that God laughs at man at times. And Jesus was 100% human. I do not believe He did not laugh at times. How do I know that? Because children crawled all over Him. You ever saw a child crawl into the lap of a grumpy person? Not going to happen. They're going to run. But they crawled all over Him. And He allowed it. Yes, He knew what was coming, but I believe He had joy in His heart as well. Honor and hone their talents. Did you know Jesus did not choose 12 identical men to be His apostles? They were so different that people were scratching their head going, "This doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all." One was a tax collector. That was not right. Another was a religious zealot. He wanted to overthrow the Roman government. There were fishermen in there. There were others in there. Two of them called the sons of thunder. And one of them became the apostle of love. He provided a balance. He understood that they were running on hyper energy. And in verse 31 He said, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place." Folks, we need a quiet place with our shepherd at times. A shepherd then would take each sheep and at times would look them over. See where they were wounded. What burrs were in their fur. What was going on within them so that he could minister to them. He gave them unconditional love. Greater love is no man find than this, than you give down your life for your friends, and you are my friends. Unconditional love. But He gave them also a greater purpose. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you what God has created you to be, according to your character, according to your skills, according to what God has placed within you. Follow me. There's a greater purpose in life than just getting through. The greatest thing, though, for a shepherd to teach his flock is to identify his voice. They would take all of their sheep, all of the flocks that are around there, and they would bring them to a place, a holding pen, for the night. And all of the sheep were together. I mean, you couldn't tell them apart. There were so many sheep. And the shepherd, when they would open the gate, would make his sound. It might be a whistle. It might be something else. You don't let that bother you at all. She's just saying, amen. But the shepherd would go to the front of the gate and he would make his whistle or sound and he would begin to walk away. And his sheep that were mingled in with everyone else knew his voice, knew his call. And they would all come out to him. The others would ignore the shepherd altogether. They knew the shepherd's voice. And folks, we must know our shepherd's voice. John chapter 10, Jesus said in verse 3 through 5, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. And they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. The shepherd walks along, making his sound, making it known, changing directions, seeing one runs off, calls them back. They know his voice and they're following after him wherever the shepherd's taking them because they trust the shepherd. They don't know where the shepherd's taking them. But they have identified themselves with this shepherd. Jesus also said, my sheep learn my voice. Listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. My sheep know my voice. Now where are you going to find the voice of your shepherd today? Well, Randy, it's you. No, it's not. No, it's not. The voice of your shepherd is found in the Word of God. If you want to know what your shepherd thinks, you go to the Word of God. When you want to know how we should live and think, it's in the Word of God. You want to know where our boundaries are at, it's in the Word of God. And you will begin to hear His voice. And there's some things that is quite clear. Thou shalt not are quite clear. There's a lot of gray area in Scripture in which He is leading us and guiding us through that gray area. This is the way I want you to walk. Listen to my voice. Understand my love for you. Here is what I think of you. How do you think God looks at you? So often, a born-again child of God, I'm second-tier Christian. There are no second-tier Christians. There are none. There are Christians that have different talents. Just because I'm in front of you doesn't mean I'm a first-tier Christian. I mean, I'm probably a fourth or fifth tier if you want to know the truth. There are no tiers. There's just one level. It's called a child. Child of God. And we must learn to listen to the voice of our shepherd in His Word. Are your prayers mostly you talking? Well, then you're not listening to His voice. What do you want me to do here, Father? How do I think here, Father? How do I respond here, Father? What I want to do is slap them. Well, how do you want me to respond? And you listen to the voice of your shepherd. Walk this way. Walk this way. The second thing is that the shepherd must teach him to trust him. Trust him. When a shepherd gets a new lamb or a new sheep that he's maybe has bought or whatever, he doesn't take them to the pen immediately because they don't know his voice. He takes them out. And he walks with them. And normally there's a head sheep or a head goat that's kind of knows things. And when he knows the shepherd's voice. And he follows the shepherd everywhere. And the other one learns that he can trust the shepherd. He's not going to take them to a place where the water is just roaring because that scares them. He's going to take them to a pool. He's going to lead them sometimes through areas that the sheep are scared of because he knows that over on the other ridge is some good grass for them. And they learn in the course of time to trust the leadership of their shepherd. Because of that, David said in Psalms chapter 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." My shepherd. It doesn't matter whether you call him a shepherd or not. Is he your shepherd? Have you accepted the salvation of Jesus Christ? Have you acknowledged the need for a Savior? Have you bowed that knee before Him and accepted that? If you have, the Lord is your shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, it says, I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, even though it's crazy around you. He says, He lets me rest. He leads me to those peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley. Folks, if you live long enough, you're going through a darkest valley. More than one. And in that darkest valley, you have got to know that there is a shepherd that's leading you through it. And sometimes His voice is very still, isn't it? And we just trust the leadership that He's given us. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. Two instruments. Yes, those are for battling lions and tigers and bears. Yes, it was used for that. But a lot of times it was used for keeping them in line. Thank You, dear Jesus, for Your rod that brought me back. Thank You, dear Jesus, for Your staff that brought me back into the fold. You did not let me leave. The Lord is my shepherd. I can trust my Savior, even when I hear the word cancer, or fired, or somebody's bought your company. Whoo, wee, that's fun. Or when your children grow up and do the things that you wish they didn't. Or when you're being blamed for something that you didn't do. Or you're being blamed for something you did do. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my protector. I can trust Him. It is good. It is good for me to go through that. Randy, I just don't know. I don't know if I've got what it takes to follow the shepherd. Oh, Peter gave us this answer. In 2 Peter chapter 3, His divine power has given us everything we need. Period. It's given us everything. You are not lacking anything, except maybe a new attitude. And if you follow Him long enough, He will give you one. He's given us everything we need for a godly life through our hard work and our tithes and offerings. Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. His own glory and goodness is why you are saved today. Through these, His glory and goodness, He has given us His very great and precious promises. Sure promises. Promises that will be there regardless of what this life does to you. Promises when you take that last breath. So that through them we may participate in the divine nature. We've got to understand, we as Christians are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, and because of His precious promises and His glory and His goodness, we get to participate in His divine nature here, now. Because we've escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. We no longer have to question those boundaries because our shepherd sets them. We no longer have to be concerned about who's in office next, although we should pray for them and we should use our votes accordingly and do correctly on that. But God's in control. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. It's like a river. He can direct it here and there. So in summary, I'm going to read from Ezekiel chapter 34. Verse 11 through 16. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search and find my sheep. Have you been away from the flock? as events took you somewhere else and you now found yourself what you think is separated. No way back because of what I've done or the events of my life. Look who says, God says, I'm going to go search for you. I'm not letting you go. I'm going to find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. Spoken specifically to the nation of Israel, being applicable to the church today, but completely fulfilled in the nation of Israel later. I will bring them back to their own land of Israel from among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend my sheep. Underline that. I myself tend to my sheep. And I give them a place to lie down in peace. This world can be fallen all around you and you can be in a place of peace. Says the Sovereign Lord, I will bring my lost ones who strayed away. Oh, I love that. The majority of us here can say that we have strayed at some point. And we felt that hand of God pull upon us. He says, I will search for my lost ones who have strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. Why? For I am the Lord God who rescues you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And maybe let's not leave it here. Maybe see that it's for us. It's for us. We're your sheep. At times we wandered away. And at times we've wandered so far away, we wondered whether you even have a place for us in your flock anymore. It's a lie of the devil. You're going to look for us. You're going to search us. You're going to bring us back. You're going to bring us to a place of peace. You're going to supply what we need. You are our good, good Father. And may we see ourselves as your children. Deeply loved. Deeply cared for. You are jealous of us. And you will not let us stray to a point that you cannot bring us back. Yes, there may be trials in that. There may be consequences from where we've strayed. But you will pick us up. Put us on your shoulder and carry us through those times. Father, may we respond to you this morning. Respond to you, who is our good, good Father. Open up your altars. Open up our hearts and we give you the praise for your glorious name. Amen. Stand with me, please. Grab your song sheet.